Very appropriate song to begin our study this week. Open my eyes. If there's ever a good prayer, that's a good one. Open our eyes to God's word and put it. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119, verse 11. It's good to be back here with us, with you all this week. Kind of substituted for Joel Plunkett a few years ago. He came down with some illness and was not able to come and reached in the bottom of the barrel. And somebody said, "Surely Moe's got some good lessons, so we'll try him again." So here we go. We're going to be reading some scripture all throughout the week, and hopefully this PowerPoint will be helpful to us as we study together. And I know sometimes we can't get to all the passages, and so we've tried to put a lot of them on the board so that you can read them and that they'll be clear to you and study along with us. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." The conversation is not how much she talks, but it is her manner of life, isn't it? That husband of hers that is not a Christian may by her good life obey the gospel. While, verse 2, "While they behold your chaste or your pure manner of life coupled with fear," they see your pure manner of life and how you fear God. "Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel." No, he's not saying don't wear clothes. No, just don't make that the extreme. Yes, there's nothing wrong with looking nice, wearing nice clothing, and combing your hair. He's not saying don't wash your hair, don't comb it. Not at all. Just don't take it to the extreme that some were taking it, even as they did under the Old Testament. So don't be like this, but rather, he says, verse 4, "Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, like your clothing is, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Not your clothing. Don't let that be what attracts people to you, but let it be the inward man of the heart. And we'll be talking more about that through the week. For verse 5, "After this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Let's follow their example, Peter says. Let's make sure our hearts are pure. And so this morning we're going to be talking about some things that are beneficial to us as Christians. In which of these categories are you? Number one, the outward adorner, or the inward? And you know what? It's not just for women, is it, guys? It's for all of us. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see, does it, whether I'm an outward adorner or an inward adorner? Who am I trying to impress? Who am I trying to please? Is it God or men? So this morning we address the topic of dressing the inner man. When we get that right, we'll be on the side of God. But we're losing the battle, folks. As I go to different gospel meetings, I see Christians wearing clothing that your jaw drops. Backless dresses. We must be running out of material. Because there's not enough to cover here, and there's not enough to reach the knee. And then sometimes they'll bring a blanket or some kind, or a little coat or something, so when they sit down, their legs won't show. Well, I'm glad they do that. It's easier on the fellows distributing the Lord's Supper, isn't it? That's not what we want to see. We're trying to worship God and not see a striptease. So we need to dress the inner man, and when we do that, our dress will be what it ought to be. Here we go. This is all a mess. How did that happen? But here's the world advertises, doesn't it? And it'll do any and everything in every way to get your attention. In the commercials, whether it's a car, clothing, gum, perfume, it doesn't matter, does it? Generally, what's the first thing? You're going to see some half-dressed woman, isn't it? Sure it is. We're going to have to clear this all up, or our lesson is going to be awfully short. I tell you what. Ah, boy. Billboard signs where we lived in West Virginia, there was like a 30-foot long billboard every year during the prom or before the prom. Seven or eight girls dressed, and you know what wasn't covered? The tops of their bodies. And if that's my daughter, I'm wanting some 16, 17, 18-year-old boy holding my daughter close. What's he going to be viewing, folks? What's going to be on his mind? We need to get real with this. We've preached around it, hop, skipped, and jumped around it, and wouldn't think that it would be into the church. But there are members of the church's daughters. I'm going to die if I don't go to the prom. Well, I'm not a girl, but I never went to a prom, and I'm still alive. Yes, I had friends that wanted me to go. Why didn't you go? Well, my parents won't let me go. Is that the answer our children should give? Really? Do you know why you're not going? Can you tell people why you're not going? I'll tell you what they'll have for you, and that is respect. That is respect. It is lasciviousness. That's a big, long Bible word, and we need to study that. That'd be a good study, wouldn't it, James? My. Billboard signs, beer ads, as we said, car dealers, chewing gum, vacation spots, you name it. The devil knows how to get our attention. These book racks in the grocery stores and other places, what do they put out there? How do they do it? Advertisers know what grabs your eye, doesn't it? Don't they? And inquiring people want to know. Oh, look at the headlines on that one. Wonder what's happening. Brad Pitt used to be the hero of all the magazines. He's slowly fading with age and other things. Not all of our battles deal with denominationalism. And you know what? We're not even battling the denominations, are we? We're just letting them go. When Paul went to Athens in Acts chapter 17, his heart was stirred in him because of all the idols. Our hearts ought to be stirred in us because of all the denominations. Folks, there is just one. Paul preached the one God to those people. They needed to hear that. We need to preach the one true church. And there's some spineless preachers today who won't do that. You're going to run people off. Well, folks, they're already lost. Where are you going to drive them? There's not a hell number two or a hell number three, is there? And sometimes by giving people a shock, they will see and they will hear. They may get angry. But many times in their anger, they'll go to try to prove you wrong, and they'll find out that what you're saying is the truth. But another battle is keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. Unspotted. Well, what's the Bible say? Listen to Ephesians chapter 5. That he might present it, that is Christ, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You ever put on a shirt or a blouse, ladies, and oh, look at that. It's got spaghetti on it or something. Well, I'm going to wear it anyway. Do you do that? Or, guys, you may get a shirt out of the laundry. Well, I don't know. Some people look like an unmade bed anyway, but pick out their cleanest dirty shirt. But you're not going to wear a coat or a shirt that looks like it's been like a Kleenex, are you? No. This is how the Lord wants the church. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh, it's got a snag in it. You know what? You may be the only one that'll see it. Maybe your sweater or whatever. Well, no, I can't wear that. This is how the Lord says the church ought to be. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Did you look in the mirror before you came? Sometimes it's obvious people don't. They should have. But more than likely, and it's, mirrors are not just for women, are they? Every one of us. You'd be surprised, guys, how many times you look in the mirror. Judy has some in strategic places, and they're for me. Whew, scary how I might walk out of the house sometime. Need a double check. James chapter 1, verse 27. Know this verse? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. What is it? To visit. And you know what that means? You do it. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. Visit the fatherless, the orphans, and the widows in their affliction. What will that do for you? You'll see somebody that needs help more than you. Did you ever get into a pity party? Oh, poor me. Nobody's had it like me. Nobody has to go through what I have to go through. You go visit these orphans, these widows, in their affliction. And he says to keep himself unspotted from the world. You keep busy doing the Lord's work, and you're going to be too busy to get into the devil's. Aren't you? Sure you are. Paul told young Timothy, keep thyself pure. I've taught several teenage classes. I know what's ahead of teenagers. I know what they're going through right now. My kids don't believe I ever was a teenager. Thought I was born this age. Born old. But there's not a one of us that doesn't know what they're going through. And we need to help them and warn them. And we're double-checking our grandchildren. Warning them constantly of the dangers and the pitfalls, to keep themselves unspotted from the world, keep themselves pure. Yes, the temptations are there. Come on, go with us. Be with us. But you can't just hear it. Well, they heard it in a sermon the other day, and that ought to be good enough. How much do you remember from all the sermons you've heard? Sometimes some things stick, don't they? But we've got to keep telling our children over and over. And how many things have you heard just once and remembered? Somebody's name? And somebody says, who is that? You know that? Oh, yeah, good old, what's his name? Yeah. We have good forgetters, so we need to be reminded. What did Moses say in Deuteronomy chapter 6? Keep it ever before your children. Parents, and he's telling the parents, what I'm telling you, you need to teach your children. When they lie down, when they rise up, when they're walking by the way, the dangers, the pitfalls are there. Keep themselves pure. Well, what possible influence can I have over my friends if I live like the world? That's the temptation. If they see me with an explosive temper, lawnmower won't start, car won't start, I'm outside and I'm blowing a gasket, punching things, throwing things. Well, remember, Solomon said, Ecclesiastes at 7 verse 9, anger resteth in the bosom of fools. That's a whole nother lesson. But just mark it down when you get angry. You ever do anything smart when you're angry? Isn't that what road rage, going postal, and all that's all about? You ever hear, if they hear me using vulgar language? One of the members of the church a few years ago, I heard his children talking in vulgarity. I asked him, I said, do you ever use swear words? He said, only to impress my wife. I said, well, your children are hearing you. And they're copying you. Yes, they are. If they know I watch sinful things on television, boom. If I am filled with envy and jealousy, Paul said, which is covetousness, which is idolatry, it's all about me. Or if I'm a gossip and a liar, I smoke and I drink. If I have that stuff in my refrigerator, it's a poison, folks. It'll kill you. Thousands die every year. Well, I'm not doing drugs. Yes, you are. You are addicted to it, either the smoking or the drinking. I can quit any time I want to. One friend of mine said, I quit 3 times last week. Easy to quit, yeah. Or if I disobey my parents, I'm not honoring. That's not only an Old Testament. That's a New Testament commandment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, that it might be well with thee. Thou mayest live long on the earth. Did you know a lot of children have died because of disobedience to their parents? If I steal at work or school, one parent got a call from the teacher, said, your son keeps stealing things pencils at school. And she said, I don't know why he does that. I bring plenty home from work. Judy's dad used to say, if you can't be a good example, you can always be a bad one. How am I doing? Back to dressing immodestly. Folks, we can't convince people who are not Christians to become Christians when we're living just like them. We're going to have to live up to the standards. And we're going to have to say no to these challenges that the devil throws out to us. This is serious. This is sobering. Well, we want the church to grow, and we can't get people to come if we're so stiff-necked, you know, so straight-laced. Well, what kind of people do you want here? Pure, unspotted, without wrinkle, or, but we got a house full. Yeah, a house full of what? Listen to Matthew 5:13. Heard this before? Underline this if you're in the habit in your Bible. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt, that is you, have lost his or your savor, not savior, if it's lost its taste, wherewith shall the earth be salted? If we are not living as we should, we have lost our savor, haven't we? The only way people are going to become Christians is through us, isn't it? It, that is the salt, or you, is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. That's what we would do when salt is no longer useful after it's been used. They used to just make a pathway with it. They wanted a path somewhere, they'd put that worthless salt in the ground. And nothing grows there. In John 15 and verse 6, to continue this thought of being cast out, Jesus said, this whole context is about abiding in him. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he said. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Isn't that what happens? You trim trees or bushes, let them lie there a few days, what do they begin to do? Grow leaves? No, they die, don't they? And they rot. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. I know too much about the rich man in Luke 16 to want to go there. Because you're not getting out. There will be no judge bargaining for you or lawyer. I was going to say the weather has been hot except for the last 2 days. What a change. But there'll be no cool down in hell, will there? Sitting out on the back porch the other day, so hot. I had to bring a fan out. Very uncomfortable. I thought about hell. No fans in hell. Mm-mm. Are you the light, the next verse says, verse 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. Not only the salt of the earth, but you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Montgomery, the capital of Alabama, used to have on the top of their Capitol building a bright light. Hank Williams and his group in the car, as they'd be traveling back home, they'd see who was the first one to see that light. And one of them yelled out one time, I saw the light. And he took that phrase and wrote a pretty good song about it. I saw the light. We need to see the light. You need to see the light. City that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle. And Jesus wrote that little song, didn't he? Hide it under a bushel of what? No. Not going to do that. We ought to be that city on a hill. Every one of us, this congregation, every one of you. Don't put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You ever been into a cave, mammoth cave? You know what they do when they get you deep down in there? Been there? They shut the lights off, and you truly cannot see. And then they'll take a candle, one little candle, and it lights. Gives light. It penetrates that darkness. And darkness is the absence of light. And this world is dark, isn't it? We've been rescued from the power of darkness. Rescued into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Verse 16, he says, let your light. One denomination had that over the pulpit in the back. It said, let your light shine. Is that what it says? It says, let your light so shine. It's an adverb of manner telling how. Let it so shine. Before men. Why? He's going to give you the reason. That they may see your good works. And what? Glorify your Father. That's why you're doing this. This is why we're doing this. We want God to be glorified, not me. If I'm here to, oh, Brother Hapley, you are something. Brother Hapley, oh. Jesus said, you've received your reward, son. If that's what I'm all about, if that's what you're all about, I highlighted the word good. That word good means beautiful. It means beautiful, that they may see your beautiful works, the things that you do in your life. How you doing? You doing these beautiful works? I've used this example, maybe I used it last time I was here, but if you're like me, you have a good forgetter. A few years ago, we walked into Walmart, and there was this apple. Oh, man, it looked huge. I wasn't hungry till I saw that apple, or all those apples. Big, had lights shining on it. Somebody just sprayed it with water. They did that on purpose. Walking in with Judy and saw that and just was attracted to that apple. I went over and picked it up. This has been 15 years ago, maybe. She said, "That's 84 cents. He put it right back down. But what attracted it to me? It's beauty. And Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see." You don't do it. "Oh, look. Look how much I'm giving. Oh, I'm helping. Did you know I'm helping over here? I'm doing this for these people." And I've... Is that the way to do it? "They may see your beautiful works and glorify..." What? Who? "They glorify your Father which is in heaven." Those who see your beautiful works, they may want to be a part of it. How are we doing? How am I doing? Are we Demas? What did Paul say about him? "He hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Can't do that. We can lose our faith. A lot of people in this world today are taught, once you're saved, you can't be lost. Demas fell in love with the world. After seeing all and hearing all that Paul had done and been through, Ananias and Sapphira wanted a little glory for themselves. Or Judas. We'll talk about a couple of these people in the lesson, the next lesson. Or are we a Dorcas, a Priscilla, an Aquila, or a Barnabas? Barnabas' real name was Joseph, and they surnamed him Barnabas, which means son of exhortation, son of encouragement. We need those, don't we? You need somebody to encourage you? "You did a good job song leading. Sure appreciated your good prayer." Yes. "My children tell me you're teaching their class and you're just doing a great job." Do you ever ask your children, "How are you doing in class? How do you like class? How are you doing?" Similar verse in 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. "Having your conduct..." King James says conversation again. "Having your conduct, your manner of life, honorable among the Gentiles, that," here's the reason, "that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your," there's that word "good" again, "by your beautiful works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." When it comes their time to hearing and obeying the gospel, "All have sinned. You have sinned. I have..." You ever have somebody say, "Well, I couldn't come to church. The ceiling had fallen in on me." Well, I said, it hadn't fallen in on me. And I'm as big a sinner as you. All have sinned. What are others observing in you? What do they see in you? If they looked up the word kindness, would your picture be there? Doing good works, would your picture be there? "Which they observe." Matthew 5, you're the light of the world. They're going to see your good works, aren't they? You know what? They're watching. Listen, your friends, your neighbors, they're watching. Oh, yes, they are. How you doing? You know, I form opinions about parents by observing their children. Sure do. How their children dress or undress. I don't know how fathers let their daughters go out wearing what they wear. That daughter may be innocent. She may not know what she's doing. But even if she doesn't, you need to guide her. Teach and admonish, not just mom's job. You need to have rules. Well, some lady told me, she said, well, we went shopping and we couldn't find any decent dresses. I said, well, learn to sew. You can make them. How they interact with others. Again, teaching the teenage class, I said, before you leave the building today, speak to somebody other than your friends. Go speak to some older person. I said, not just me. I'm one of them. But find somebody else to talk to. If it's just to say, hi, how are you? So glad to see you. I said, you're the one that's going to benefit, and they will, won't they? That's a good work. That's personal work. And you may start somebody on a binge of, hey, that was good. I can do this. I didn't think I could. But you can. How they worship, the body language. You ever see that? I've had to get up from my seat and go up front and sit between some people for dishonoring God in their worship. They now know why we'll do that. Once was about 2 weeks ago. Their Bible knowledge. Had teenage boys get up and read a scripture, a simple passage, and I'm not talking about a genealogy passage with all the difficult names. That's music to my ears, by the way. Baby crying. May not be to mom and dad. That's sweet, sweet music. Their Bible knowledge. Reading a simple passage. It's like it's Greek to them. They've never read it before. Bible knowledge. Form opinions about parents. You have your children read? Ever read? Ever do their lessons? We had a son that tried that. He filled out the blanks in his lessons, and Judy opened the book and looked. There were words in the blank. They just weren't the answers. I filled out my book. He learned not to do that anymore. Oh, and that's this one. Yes, sir. Yes. What happened to that? I've had people two or three times in the last month say, oh, don't call me, sir. I said, I'm sorry. My parents taught me better than that. Just last week or 2 weeks ago. Don't call me, sir. Don't tell a young person not to do that. Don't do that. Don't call me, sir. Don't call me, ma'am. We must keep busy doing good. Studying, giving all diligence, the Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:15. Do we really study? Got so much time for so many other things. Teaching the lost, are we failing at that? Shake your head this way. Yes. Yes, first bell. Yes, we are. Praying, pray without ceasing. Do we pray? Did you know your prayers don't have to be eternal? My brother-in-law keeps telling me my sermons don't have to be eternal to be immortal. Or your prayers. How about thank you, God? Thank you, God. You know, he hears that. Attendance to services, not forsaking. This is dressing the inner man, all doing all these things. Keep doing good. Helping others. Not only pray for, but help. Well, if there's anything I can do. And how many people are going to say, yes, there is. And you know what? I think we ought to do that. We ought to you ask, I'm going to tell you. I could use your help. But we ought to see and know. A young mother having difficulties, maybe has two or three children, and coming by herself, needs some help. Don't know why she can't control those kids. Well, how about you helping out? Just stepping up. Need to move quickly. Weak spiritually, help them. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Well, she walked right out of the building, didn't talk to me. Did you ever think she may have a problem that you don't know about? honey, is there something we can do? I see you're not feeling well. Or if they miss services, we miss you. Anybody miss Charles and Jerry? And others that you have here that are not able to be here, you miss them? Do you let them know? The weak physically, visit the fatherless and widows. Oh, I'd like to, but really? Oh, there's a game on this afternoon. Okay. Help the poor. Dorcas was full of good works and alms deeds. Verse 36 says, which she did. You know of a lot of things you can do. Well, I can't do what I used to do. Well, do what you can do. Huh? Get over it. Help enemies? Oh, my. Ain't no stinking way I'm going to help my enemies. They've made their bed. Yes, sir. Oh, what did Jesus say about that? But I say unto you. Oh, you've heard it said, hate your enemies? Mm-mm. I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Here's the reason, the very next verse. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He's not just telling us to do this. You go do it, but I don't have to. He does it. Acts 7:60, what did Stephen, what were his last words? Lay not this sin to their charge. What was happening to him? You can Google, you can see people being stoned. It is not a pleasant sight. What did Jesus say? You know what he said. He said, do as I say and do as I do. Nothing that he ever told us to do was he not willing to do himself. Well, there's Charles and Jerry. Yes. Romans 12. Recompense to no man, evil for evil. Oh, get even with you. You know what I do when I get even? I go lower. I'll get you back all right, and I'll think of something that'll be a whole lot worse than what you did to me. Is that how you think? Don't do that. Provide things honest in sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, to live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. You know why I said that? Because that's our temptation to do it. But rather give place unto wrath. You can be Superman and stand in the way of that speeding anger locomotive, and you know what will happen? You'll get run over. Give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is Moe's. I will repay. Oh, boy. You're saved by the bell. Thank you, class, for listening so well.